Kildare Focus with Ciara Plunkett.
You're welcome on into Wednesday's edition of Kildare Focus. In just a moment, we'll be speaking to SIPTU about special payments to be made to people made redundant workers laid off because of the pandemic. I'll be joined by Niamh Rice of the Irish Society of Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism. It's launched its pre-budget submission, which includes a recommendation that people aged 70 and over should receive nutritional screening during the flu vaccine campaign. Peter Lewis is a career coach at TU Dublin Career Development Centre, and we'll be discussing the importance of on-the-job learning for graduates. I'll be joined as well by Dr. Derek Richards of Silver Cloud Health. They're partnering with the HSE to roll out a new digital mental health service nationally, and we'll be discussing all things pensions with Gerry Moriarty. As always, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with your comments, your requests, your dedications by text or WhatsApp to 0833 97 97 97. You can drop us an email, studio@kfmradio.com, or you can tweet us at KFM Radio. Government has confirmed it will make what's described as a special payment to people who were made redundant or who lost reckonable service due to being laid off or put on short time because of the pandemic. I'm joined now on the line by Teresa Hannock to discuss this. She is SIPTU Services Division Organiser. Teresa, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Ciara.
So this is a couple of distinct groups of people who may have been furloughed, to use that word that we all became very familiar with during the start of the pandemic, and then subsequently may have been made redundant, and other kinds of groups in that vicinity, if you will.
Yes, and also covers all workers that would have been, they're not necessarily facing redundancy today or next year, but would have been on PUP payments and been laid off for any period during the pandemic. Because if, when you're being made redundant, the calculation for statutory redundancy is your last 3 years. So if I was to face redundancy in 2023, I would have this gap of reckonable service from 2020 onwards. So this will cover that gap. So it has an impact not only on people who may face redundancy very shortly or could be in 2022 or during that time. And also, as you know, there was emergency amendments to the Redundancy Payments Act in April, which put a hold on the clause in the Act, which allows workers to seek or to apply for a statutory redundancy if they've been laid off for any period of time. And that amendment was extended 6 times since March 2020. It comes out at the end of this month. Not really, it disappears on the 30th of September. So there's a lot of workers who may not have worked for 18, 19 months, and they could not seek to be to apply for statutory redundancy because of the derogation that was put in there. But the options of some of their employments coming back normally in November or October are probably very minimal. Now they have the opportunity, after being on layoff, to apply for some form of redundancy.
And the preceding 18 months will be used as part of the reckoning of their statutory redundancy payment now?
Yeah, it is what the government are going to make this payment. Normally the employer is obliged under the legislation to cover statutory redundancy. And how it works is, you know, there's a cap of €600 per week, and it's calculated of 2 weeks per year of service, a full service. So the payment, the maximum payment the government are looking at is 1,800, so that covers almost slightly over 1,800, so like 3.1 weeks, and that would bring it in, that would cover that element.
Obviously, we can't know who may be made redundant that could be in this particular group in the next 18 months, 2 years or thereafter, but do you know, Teresa, who might fall into this bracket today?
I would say we have a lot of workers in the services industries, particularly hospitality, contract catering and retail workers, that not only have been laid off because of government restrictions, that some of the facilities or services weren't available, but as we even move back, if you take a large office block that may have had some catering facilities by a contract caterer, there's less people working, so there's a reduced requirement for workers working in kitchens or working in any kind of restaurant in those facilities. So we do anticipate there will be a lot of redundancies, particularly in contract catering and some of those other service industries.
And I suppose this special payment will bring those workers some kind of comfort, cold it may be, but comfort nonetheless, that they're no longer stuck in that limbo.
Yeah, that was a big concern when people were laid off last year and they were on the PUP payment. And redundancy at any time is a terrible thing for anybody to lose their job, and your regular income is gone. Whatever form of monetary award you get is limited unless you happen to walk into another job. It's really no benefit. People still have to pay bills. They still have to pay mortgages. Without that regular income, it can be very difficult. But it was a big concern that to lose under the Redundancy Payments Act, to lose that reckonable service would be a big chunk, particularly in some of the areas you're talking about in the service industries, where people may be on the minimum wage and probably won't even hit the max or the floor of the six or the ceiling of the 600 euro. To lose effectively 3 weeks out of that payment is a lot.
It is a big deal. What's your view, Teresa, of the fact that the government only made this commitment on Tuesday? We're 18 months into the pandemic. We're very far advanced in the easing of COVID-19 restrictions. Would it have been feasible to arrive at this decision well before now?
One of the difficulties was the amendment, which meant that people could not apply for statutory redundancy. And so that was one difficulty. So there were a limited amount of redundancies during that period, because for a lot of employments that were in difficulty, either there was the temporary wage subsidy scheme or workers were on the PUP. So it might not have arisen. Once that all starts to fall away, we anticipate a lot more redundancies would happen. It would have been ideal if people didn't lose the reckonable service. For a lot of people, the employers were as generous as they could be and did not calculate that loss into it. But we now know we're going to be facing a lot of employments where the PUP and the TWSS kept their employees on the books, even though they weren't working. And now we've come to the phase here, the lifting of restrictions. Mm-hmm. By the end of this month, it'll be gone, and then we're going to have probably, anticipate between now and probably early next year, a lot of redundancies.
Well, Teresa Hannock, Services Division Organiser at SIP2, thank you indeed for joining us there.
I've been waiting for you to come around and tell me the truth. That everything that you're going through, my girl, you've got nothing to lose. Cold nights and the Sunday mornings on your way and out of the grave. I've got time, I've got love, got confidence, rise above. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Crowded town, silent bed, pick a place to rest your head. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. I've been dreaming about us, working hard and saving it up. We'll go and see the man on the moon. My girl, we've got nothing to lose. Cold night and Sunday mornings on your way and out of the grave. I've got time, I've got love, got confidence, rise above. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Crowded town, silent bed, be a good place to rest your head. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. My girl, my girl. I've got love, got confidence, you rise above. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Crowded town, silent bed, pick a place to rest your head. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. I've got time, I've got love, got confidence, you rise above. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Crowded town, silent bed, pick a place to rest your head. Give me a minute to hold my girl. Give me a minute to hold my girl.
That is George Ezra and Hold My Girl. Now, the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, as part of its pre-budget submission, has called for the change in the current situation whereby people aged 70 or over should be given nutritional screening during the flu vaccine campaign. I'm joined on the line now by the director of the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, Niamh Rice. Niamh, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Ciara.
What is motivating this call for nutritional screening for people in older age when they're getting the flu vaccine?
Well, I suppose we've been talking for a long time about malnutrition, which is often, you know, nutritional status of people as they get older is much more likely to suffer. And if you're sick, you're more likely to get problems with nutrition. Last year, we were delighted that the minister introduced mandatory screening for nutrition in hospitals. So, you know, that's being implemented at the moment. I don't think it's fully implemented, but at least we've got there. And the idea is that we want to keep people as well as possible in their own home. If we can actually screen people before they notice themselves they're declining, we're much more likely to be able to keep them well, and they're less likely to get come into hospital. And if they have a disease that's causing them to not eat very well, it's a really important thing that we pick it up quickly, because it always requires investigation if you're losing weight. And the nutrition screening is designed to see, are you losing weight unintentionally? Are you becoming sick? And what's behind that?
Also, it would alert medical practitioners, such screening, to any social factors that may be connected to malnutrition, because there's a staggering proportion of people aged 70 or over, somewhere in the region of 15%, that experience malnutrition.
Yes, Kira, the risk goes up. I mean, first of all, as you get older, you're more likely to be sick and have at least one chronic disease. And secondly, of course, social factors put on top of that, which means that you're not as capable of cooking for yourself. You might have had a bereavement, you might be living alone, and it's difficult to get motivated about eating, for example. That can contribute to somebody then suddenly, you know, losing interest in food. And you know, if you actually find somebody losing weight like that, as I said, it always needs to be investigated, because it could mean that there's a disease that hasn't been picked up. There's something maybe going on. And as you say, social factors are hugely important. And the problem is that, you know, we were saying over 70, over 70 should be screened. We're also saying that people, as a priority, there's 58,000 people, most of those would be over 70, are receiving home care support from the HSE, and the whole idea is to keep them in their home as long as possible, you know, and maintain their independence. And of course, part of that is to keep them well nourished. So we want to make sure that they are, as a priority, that group will be, the screening is it happens there first.
Niamh, but how do you envisage that the screening would take place in practical terms? Would it just be, you know, taking somebody's weight, looking at their overall health and for what they're attending the doctor?
Well, that's a great question, Ciara, because there are more than one tools. They're validated methods of screening patients. But if they were in their own home, let's just talk about the 58,000 that are receiving, because they might be listening at the moment. I mean, if people are receiving care in their own home, it's likely that they are particularly vulnerable, and therefore the chances are that even it might be even as high as 30% that are having nutritional problems. So the screening would happen once every 3 months, we would recommend, and it'd be done by a nurse probably. They would be weighed to see if there's any change in weight since the last time. So, you know, sequentially making sure that they're not losing weight is really important. And there's also certain tools will have certain questions to determine, you know, what's their appetite like, etc.
So that 3 months, I think, in the general course of events might sound quite frequent to those of us who may not either be in that cohort of 58,000 people or who may not currently be in older age. But you're trying to establish a pattern and a baseline.
Actually, I'm really glad you got me to clarify that. We're only saying for those that are receiving home help in their own home, we know they're particularly vulnerable. And it's easy enough for those to get a screen because it's likely that people are calling on them.
Yeah.
So it's once a quarter. So for those. For otherwise, and as you say, we're trying to be very practical because you're absolutely right. It's not easy for doctors. They've loads of things to do and we don't want to do, you know, to ask them to do unnecessary extra work. So it'd be really, we were thinking of linking that to vaccination. So linking that to the flu vaccine, the annual flu vaccine, is a very sensible thing to do because it can even be done through self-screening. So while the patient is waiting in the surgery, we're suggesting that nowadays we do have a screening method. They can stand on a scale. There's a few questions that they need to provide. And by the time they get to their vaccination, they can actually have a result that would suggest whether they are having problems or not. So that's convenient. Now, we haven't piloted, you know, a lot of countries are looking to do screening in the community and we want to keep it low cost. So what we are looking to do is a pilot scheme where we take vaccinated patients, take you know, the people coming through for vaccination and link it to that. And that's why we're looking for an allocation of really just 150,000 to do a screening, a pilot. And for that larger cohort of patients.
To be honest, us all, people being as they are, not include myself in this, if you're getting a 2-for-1 when you're going to your GP, you're more likely to go because, you know, the two birds with one stone. So if you were already going to go for your flu vaccine, sure, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. And the other thing is it's painless. And, you know, it's painless and it's reassuring. If, you know, if you feel there's something wrong, it can also trigger maybe a conversation. I mean, it's terribly important in people who are, you know, people who are well don't tend to lose weight. They don't, unless they want to. So it's often something, you know, it's always something that should be clinically relevant. If someone's losing weight unintentionally, then it should be investigated. And it can come with disease. So it can be an important indicator to a doctor that not all is right. And I suppose it also supports all of those other ideas of screening for cancer and various other diseases. It's supportive of all of those principles.
Well, Niamh Rice, thank you so much for joining us. Niamh Rice, Director of the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking on-the-job learning and a new digital mental health service.
K-Country with Liam Kett, Monday to Thursday, Kildare's KFM.
We have the best of country music for you Monday to Thursday on K-Country. We have the hottest new releases from the US and Ireland, and we revive great showband memories on Monday nights after 9. And we have an hour of classic American country on Wednesdays at 7. So practice your dance steps and sing along with me on K-Country this week here on KFM.
KFM. When the day arrives for you to scrap your old car, help will be at hand. With Elves, the go-to place for car recycling, the process is easy. First, visit elves.ie to find a recycling facility near you. Next, drop your car off or have it collected. Finally, receive your certificate of destruction, ending your responsibility for the vehicle. And that's it. It really is that simple. You've done your bit for the environment and for your own peace of mind. For more information, visit elves.ie.
Apple products have everything you need to take on any course load. From powerful performance and great battery life to built-in apps for productivity and creativity. At CompuBee, we like to think we're a bit like that. Because with expert advice, support from Apple specialists and incredible back-to-college deals, like a HomePod mini worth €99 on us and at least €70 off the latest MacBook, we have everything you need for your course load too. When you think Apple, think CompuBee, your local Apple expert. Visit your local store or compub.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort. Managed by vets at our state-of-the-art facility in Kildare Town. Introduce your dog to the Jim Dog life. Wellness, fitness, diet and training in one easy monthly payment. Doggy daycare and dog grooming now available 7 days a week. Jim Dog, helping dogs live their best lives. 045 521 507. Good boy.
That's the BTW Autumn Sale.
Siobhan, don't say a word. I know you're redoing the bathroom and kitchen. Well, I just heard the BTW radio ad. They've got everything you were looking for. Those big porcelain tiles for the kitchen, gorgeous timber floors for the sitting room, sinks and... Siobhan, wait for me!
The BTW Autumn Sale is now on at M7 Business Park, Naas.
Ireland is now moving from the emergency phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thanks to you and your positive response to Ireland's vaccination programme, a significant easing of restrictions is now in sight. Some further restrictions have now been eased on indoor and outdoor activities, and the phased and gradual return to workplaces can begin. As we get back to our activities and offices, and as we reconnect with our communities, let's all think about how we can help keep ourselves, our families, our colleagues, and our communities safe. We will continue to protect each other by sticking to the basics: isolating if we have symptoms, hand washing, good respiratory etiquette, social distancing, and wearing our face coverings where necessary. From October onwards, we will move to a new phase of the pandemic, where the majority of restrictions will be lifted, replaced by guidance and advice to enable us to work together to protect ourselves, to manage the ongoing risk, and to live our lives to the fullest extent possible. You can find everything you need to know about the reopening of Ireland on gov.ie/recovery. Supported by the Government of Ireland.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Plunkett.
Joined now on the line by Peter Lewis. He is a career coach at TU Dublin Career Development Centre. And we're going to be talking about the highly important factor of on-the-job learning for graduates. Peter, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much for having me, Ciara.
Delighted to do so. I think virtually everybody, and I would include myself in this, when you graduate from college or from your college of further education or from whatever institution you might have attended, you go to, into the job that you've trained for, you walk in the door, you sit down, you're there, I don't know what to do. So you have all of that, that academic learning. In some cases you may have had practical experience, but it's quite divorced from the day-to-day realities of doing a job, which in many ways is where your education continues.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I suppose, like in TU Dublin and in other institutions, there's a lot of focus on developing graduate attributes and having practical projects. And I know in TU Dublin, we really have a focus on integrated placement programs, so students can go out and engage and experience work experience. But even as graduates coming out the other end, there's still a huge amount that has to be learned. It can be quite overwhelming. It can be quite uncertain. And a lot of students sometimes will find it quite difficult. And it's really important, I suppose, that when students are going out and graduates are going out into industry, that they really reach out to engage with their employers, look to be mentored, seek advice, spend time, and literally look for that support as they enter, because while they will have learned a lot in college, it certainly will be a new experience.
Should they have to actively look for it though, Peter? Shouldn't it in an ideal world be there, be present in that new job which has intentionally hired a new graduate?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of employers out there, graduate employers, do a huge amount of work in terms of setting the scene, creating graduate programs, creating mentoring opportunities and so forth. But sometimes it's not possible for all companies to deliver when they're trying to meet their daily operational tasks, particularly medium to smaller size companies. So sometimes graduates coming in, they can have formal programs, they can have mentoring that's there, but they sometimes, and then they should really just put their hands up and ask the questions, because realistically, employers, they won't know if you're having difficulties, if you're being overwhelmed, sometimes unless you say it. A lot of graduates want to just put on a brave face and just want to show that they're coping well, when in fact they need that extra support and guidance. So it's a two-way process, certainly employers, but I think graduates need to take a bit of ownership and put their hand up, as I say, and ask the employers and ask questions and seek support.
And even if a new graduate or a new entrant to the workplace didn't feel overwhelmed, they are still in many ways a fish without water. And we all of us on occasion feel overwhelmed at work, no matter how long we've been doing the job that we've been doing. So that isn't a feeling exclusive to new entrants. But it would, I would imagine, Peter, serve both graduate and employer well to recognise that in the same way that there's a huge jump from school to college, it is also a huge jump from college to the workplace.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And in terms of the whole cultural piece and the whole engaging, that the be it office politics, be it the cultural elements of how your departments are structured, how tasks are done, prioritizing tasks, all of that can be things that you might have come across briefly in past experiences or college, but really they're things that you know, real challenges, real pressures and consequences that you may not have come across before. So I think it definitely is important, I suppose, for like you say, for graduates, even if they're not feeling overwhelmed, but just to acknowledge the fact that it is going to be a bit different, and it's going to take some time to settle into your role, and not to get overwhelmed, not to be really hard on yourself as a graduate. Just realize that it does take time. Those senior managers that you're dealing with every day, they, when they entered their roles, took time to adjust into new jobs, into new roles as graduates. So it does take a bit of acclimatization, but it does happen. But as I say, reaching out for support and so forth, and raising one's hand, asking questions is not a sign of vulnerability necessarily. Obviously, asking a question multiple times might be not the best idea. Try to take on board the information, tasks, the guidance the employers are giving you, your boss is giving you, but sometimes they'd much rather you would ask a question or share a concern, rather than go ahead, go off on your own and come back in a week's time with things having gone pear-shaped. So this is some learning that sometimes graduates, they don't realise. They think they're supposed to know it all as they walk in the door and be able to just own everything straight away.
Well, Peter Lewis, career coach at TU Dublin Career Development Centre, thank you indeed for joining us.
When you wake up in the morning and you're shadowed by the darkness of the night, when you wake up in the morning, darling, I'll be by your side. When you get a little lonely and you lose your rhythm, don't give up the fight. When you wake up in the morning, darling, I'll be by your side.
That is Calvin Harris, Tom Grennan, and By Your Side. Now, a brand new digital mental health service is being rolled out right across the country. It's targeting depression and anxiety specifically, and it's a keynote partnership between the Health Service Executive and Silver Cloud Health. And I'm joined on the line by the Chief Science Officer of Silver Cloud, Dr. Derek Richards. Derek, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little about how this service will work.
So it's a digital cognitive behavioural therapy service. And how it works is that individuals can get a referral from either their GP or one of the allied psychological professionals, such as counselling in primary care or primary care psychology, or indeed Jigsaw, the charity. Once they're referred to the service, which is a full clinical service, they go through an assessment of their needs mm-hmm. in terms of their symptoms and other demographic information. And thereafter, they're able to choose a program, which is generally either depression and anxiety. And that is a program that will address their immediate needs in terms of their presentation. Once they have access then to the program, it's a self-administered intervention composed of different cognitive and behavioural techniques and strategies, content, exercises, tools, interactive exercises, but also they are within the program held by a supportive clinician. And the supporter checks in week on week to review their work, to review the exercises, the homework and other tasks, etc., that they've engaged with. And they're also able to leave a supportive message, give further guidance, direct them to different aspects of the program that might be most useful or beneficial for them. And that's how that operates over an 8 to 12 week period. And generally, that generally active engagement with those active, established, evidence-based ingredients of therapy produce a clinical outcome at the end.
I would imagine that in the same way that there's no form of treatment for mental health that is a one size fits all, that this particular mm-hmm. service may not necessarily be for everybody who lives with depression and anxiety, but for those for whom it is suitable and who have been referred to what, as you say, Derek, is a full clinical service. Imagine having a certain level of personal control over your treatment is quite empowering.
Absolutely. Two things there. You're right. No one intervention will ever be a panacea to fix all. And this is only one intervention in a plethora or a whole toolbox of interventions comprising a pathway for care for individuals and their needs at different times. So therefore, it's not a replacement and it's not either a panacea. At the same time, though, you know, empowering people, like you say, in terms of being active agents in their own care for their own health and mental health mm-hmm. is really something positive. And it's also an attraction for people. So, for example, we've witnessed over the years through our research and also service development, whereby we can actually reach out and reach a further demographic, such as young men, for instance, who wouldn't typically walk over the threshold of a service, but may actually supported by the relative distance and the comfort of their own home, for example, or the comfort of their own space, be able to access such a service as this and actually benefit from it. So real potential there.
That's what I was going to say. It does remove what may be for some people barriers, the barrier of travelling to attending, the barrier of time perhaps, or the cost of financing travelling, or as you say, the barrier of being there in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, you've enumerated some of the benefits of digitally delivered CBT. What's really important is to understand that what's being delivered are well-established, empirically supported treatment components that, if delivered accurately and if the individual is exposed to them, they can learn key skills and strategies that they can use currently to manage any distress they might be experiencing, but also build a toolbox of skills and strategies to manage any stress or stressors or distress they may experience in the future. And that's what's key. CBT is goal-oriented. It's about learning key skills and applying them in life to manage situations, manage distress, and manage any future scenarios.
Well, Dr. Derek Richards, Chief Science Officer at Silver Cloud Health, which has, of course, partnered with the HSE to roll out this digital mental health service right across the country. Thank you indeed for joining us. Coming up after the break, I'll reveal our two qualifiers for this hour for the CSIRO competition, and we'll be talking pensions.
K-Drive with Paul Power. Monday to Friday, Kildare's KFM.
Hey, it's Paul here. Every day on KFM, we drive you home from 4 to 7. We've got the Birthday Club, Triple Plays, loads and loads of great music. We play Musical Connect 4, and of course, we keep a regular eye on the traffic and travel. So that's K-Drive every day from 4 with me, Paul Power.
With Fitzpatrick's Hyundai, Kildare and Nace.
Kildare's KFM.
At Harvey Norman, our specialist staff are here to help you find the perfect cooking appliances for your kitchen, like the AEG self-cleaning single oven, featuring assisted cooking, which selects the optimal settings so your dish is perfectly cooked every time. Now $999, saving €140. Or the AEG 80cm induction hob, with power boost function that can boil water in under 90 seconds. Now $1149, saving €55. Shop online at harveynorman.ie or in our spacious stores. Harvey Norman, your cooking specialists.
We seldom talk about the past. By award-winning Kildare author, broadcaster, playwright John McKenna is now published. Selected from his previous highly successful collections, stories set in Ireland and abroad, which explore love, life, loss, disappointment and hope. McKenna's work has been acclaimed by The Guardian, Scotland on Sunday, The Irish Times and many more. Published by New Island Books, We Seldom Talk About the Past by John McKenna is now available in all good bookshops.
Kildare and Wicklow Education and Training Board are delighted to be part of National Adult Literacy Awareness Week from September 23rd to 27th. Is now the right time for you to update your education? To upskill or reskill, check out your full and part-time options today. Contact one of our FET centres or visit our website, kwetb.ie or fetchcourses.ie for more details. See our social media for updates.
To experience bliss. A bar of smooth melting Lindor chocolate from the Lindt Master Chocolatier. A moment of bliss wherever you go.
Make a difference in the life of a person who needs you. Comfort Keepers are now employing caring people to join our Kildare team. If you love the idea of giving a daily dose of joy to people in your community, then join us by applying at ckjobs.ie today. Full and part-time positions available. ckjobs.ie.
I hope you're sitting down, because tonight's Lotto jackpot is an estimated 17 million euro. Play responsibly in-store, in-app or at lottery.ie. The National Lottery. It could be you.
John McLean. The American Pie 50th Anniversary Tour.
Blue and gray. You can tell her that I told.
A fully seated show at Three Arena on Friday, October 7th, 2022.
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie.
Spend an evening with Don McLean. Tickets from $34.50 on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Additional charges may apply.
Quinn's Superstore Balton Glass. You won't want to miss out on the Bathroom Studio by Topline September sale with up to 50% off select lines now. Head down to Quinn's Superstore Balton Glass and don't miss out on these great offers. Yes, you heard right. Up to 50% off select bathroom at Quinn's Superstore Balton Glass.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Plunkett.
Imagine there are very few parents who didn't at some point almost lose their reason because their toddler just would not eat any vegetables. It turns out that it's not their fault. So new researchers have discovered why children dislike particularly broccoli and Brussels sprouts. The research suggests enzymes from these vegetables and from bacteria in saliva can produce unpleasant odours in the mouth. It appears we learn to tolerate the odours, although I know plenty of adults who would not eat a Brussels sprout if you paid them. So adults can allegedly enjoy the vegetables like kale and cabbage, but not so much children. That's interesting. I would also imagine that it depends as well on how they're cooked, but it's not their fault if they don't like them. Now, our two qualifiers for the CSIRO competition for this hour are Geraldine Quinlan in Prosperous and Eileen Appleby from Naas. Vanessa Carlton and 1,000 Miles. Now, it's Pensions Awareness Week, and I'm joined on the line now to discuss this by Gerry Moriarty, Chief Executive of the Irish Pensions Fund. Gerry, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Ciara.
As a society, as we, I suppose, continue to discuss changes in pension age, it seems to be the word is very frequently bandied about, but not necessarily the meaning on an individual basis, because we're talking very frequently about the state pension and not personal pensions.
That's correct. I think there's been a lot of focus on the state pension, particularly over the last couple of years, with changes the state pension age and those haven't been put aside. But I think sometimes we forget that the state pension age is really designed just to keep people out of poverty. It's 248 euro a week, so it's just under 13,000 a year. That on its own is not going to give most people the type of retirement they would like to have. So if people want to do more than just stay out of poverty, which I think it's reasonable most people will, then they're going to have to save themselves to do that or find a way of having an income in retirement when they're not working.
How does Ireland and its uptake of private personal pensions compare with the rest of Europe? Are we on a par? Are we a bit lazy about this?
We're similar to most countries that have voluntary pension systems in place. So nobody has to be in a pension scheme. If you're an employer, you're not obliged to pay into a pension for your employees. And most countries where that's the case, you end up with about half the working population having private savings. And that's what we've got here. It's fairly similar. But actually, if you break those down, because everybody in the public sector is a pension, when you move into the private sector, it's even less than half. So what a lot of countries have done to kind of address some of this issue is have some sort of mandatory pension savings, or what they do in the UK is you're automatically put into a pension plan and then you can opt out if you want. So you have to be put in, but then you've got a choice whether you stay in or not. And that's what we're meant to be doing as well, but that's been delayed as well.
I think our automatic enrolment gave you a really, really tiny window, certainly in the initial proposal to opt out. And it's a window I think most people would forget to exploit, which is probably not necessarily unintentional on the drafter's part. I say that as a positive. What always concerns me when we talk about pensions is that there are tens of thousands of people who live wage to wage and may never be able to afford to engage in a voluntary pension.
Yes, and that is the balance you're trying to address. So certainly on auto-enrolment, it's only intended for people over a certain income level, because you will have people who are on very low salaries at the moment. The state pension should be enough to at least allow them to continue the sort of lifestyle they have, although that's not always quite true either. But it is, you can set a basis at which you're really not eating into earnings, like you say, that people don't have, where people are already on very low earnings.
Now, it's also... Sorry about that. It's also a great way to save in the traditional sense because of the tax break.
It is.
Tax break, sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Sorry, it is. And it is designed to, I mean, the idea of this sort of pension tax break is you tax people when they actually have their money, and that's when they take their pension or retirement. You don't tax them now when they're paying the contributions in. So if you take a very simple example, if somebody puts 100 euro into pension, their salary only reduces by 60 because effectively that money's taken off before you apply tax. The 100 still goes into pension. If you're working for an employer who's matching that contribution, they'd be putting 100 in as well. So suddenly you've got 200 euro saved in your pension and your income has only reduced by 60. So that can be very attractive for people.
Here's the key question. Is it ever too late to start a pension? Is there a point in your working life where there's absolutely no point in doing it?
No, it's never too late. Obviously, the earlier you start, the better, because you're going to get the benefit of investment returns over a long period of time. And particularly if you're starting young as well, you can afford to take more risk because you've got that long period of time to retirement. But also with the pension system at the moment, you can take up to 25% of your fund tax-free. So there's an incentive to do that as well. So no, it's never too late.
And this is kind of an how long is a piece of string question. But what is the ideal proportion of your salary that you should be allocating to your pension?
Again, and you're right, it is a how long is a piece of string question. It depends when you're starting. Obviously, you know, putting in relatively lower amounts if you can do it when you're quite young. Trying to make up time as you come closer to retirement is harder. It depends as well if your employer is putting money in as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that helps, so you don't need to put in as much yourself. The Pensions Authority, which is a pensions regulator, has a good calculator on their website, and it allows you to try and work out what sort of income you need in retirement, and then it'll tell you what percentage of your salary you should be saving to get there.
Okay, and final words of advice, Gerry, on pensions. If somebody thinks that it's something that they can't afford, there might be a possibility that they can. It's not something you shouldn't investigate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should still look at it. Obviously, you know, with the state pension, keep an eye on that as well. Just make sure you've got your PRSI contributions. If you've got any gaps in service, you can fill those in, but you can only do that before you retire. If you do have an employer who's got a pension scheme in place, you really should join it. Sometimes it's voluntary, so it's up to you. But if your employer is going to be paying in, that'll really help you get those savings up and have a decent retirement.
Well, Gerry Moriarty, Chief Executive of the Irish Pensions Fund, thank you indeed for joining us to mark Pensions Awareness Week.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Plunkett.
For the sitters, the streamers, the duvet dayers and the dreamers, Easy Living Interiors brings you our best sofa event ever, with even more incredible savings and relaxing stylish designs. From soft leather and fabric to gorgeous velvet sofas, comfy armchairs and on-trend colours. Everything reduced and almost everything in stock, ready for delivery. The sofa event at Easy Living Interiors, Sandyford, Naas, Navan and M1 Retail Park, Drogheda. Sale now on.
Drivers, keep an eye out for the new digital signs being introduced on the M50 between Junction 4 Ballymun and Junction 6 Castleknock. The signs will be switched on to slow traffic in the event of a collision, roadworks, poor weather or congestion. Lowering your speed will help protect you, other road users, emergency responders and road workers. Respect the speed displayed and help keep the M50 safe. A message from Transport Infrastructure Ireland and the Road Safety Authority.
If you're pregnant, a COVID-19 vaccine will help to protect you and your baby. Most people who get COVID-19 while pregnant have mild to moderate symptoms, but you are more at risk of being very unwell or needing hospital treatment. It is safe to get your vaccine at any stage of pregnancy. Before you get your COVID-19 vaccine, make sure you talk to your doctor or midwife. And you'll find more information on hse.ie. From the HSE.
My friends said to try Hillary's, so I thought I would give them a go. From the minute I opened the door to my local advisor to fit my stunning new roller blind, I was really impressed. Not only did he perfectly fit them, he also cleaned up afterwards, and it only cost me €70 fully fitted. In fact, right from when he showed me samples over a cuppa, nothing was too much trouble. There are Hillary's advisors working all over Ireland. Why not give them a go? Hillary's, value you can measure.
There's never been a better time to switch to Electric Ireland. We're offering all new customers a €265 welcome bonus. All you have to do is call 1800 30 50 90 or visit electricireland.ie. For your welcome bonus, switch today. Electric Ireland, we're brighter together. Estimated annual bill €1,895. Average consumption urban 24-hour discounted unit rate. Standing charge PSO levy and carbon tax. Residential dual fuel direct debit and online billing. T's and C's apply. See electricireland.ie/EAB. Rates at 1st of August 2021, subject to change.
At Harvey Norman, our specialist staff are here to help you find the perfect cooking appliances for your kitchen, like the AEG self-cleaning single oven, featuring assisted cooking, which selects the optimal setting so your dish is perfectly cooked every time. Now €999, saving €140. Or the AEG 80cm induction hob, with power boost function that can boil water in under 90 seconds. Now €1149, saving €55. Shop online at harveynorman.ie or in our spacious stores. Harvey Norman, your cooking specialists.